Now that your glory fills this house, Lord, now. rush of fire over me, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Pour it out on me. I need a fresh infilling and bloom of the Holy Spirit in my life. Praise you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the power of your Spirit and the power of Pentecost. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. John chapter 7. If you would turn there with me. We're going to go over to Acts chapter 2, verse number 14. Praise the Lord. So good to have Brother Dwayne and Sherry back with us today. He's been through a lot here over the last year. He told me when he said he was a part of the last of the Mohegans, is what I was going to say. He's always cut up like that. We're just glad you're getting here in the house. We love you. We're praying for you. Praise the Lord. John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Verse number 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And over in Acts chapter 2, if you would turn there with me. Acts chapter 2. You know, I forgot to ask you to stand. Would you stand for the remainder of this word? Acts chapter 2. If you're able to do that, we appreciate it. Verse number 14 said, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, 'Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is that.'" Everybody say, "But this is that."
"This is that."
"This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my midservants and on my maidservants, I will pour out of my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord." Everybody believe Jesus is still coming back?
Yeah.
"And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Will you stretch your hands for me and let's pray together today. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this day of celebration. Celebrating, Lord, our identity and our DNA as a church. We are Pentecostal believers, Lord, and I'm not ashamed of who I am in you. I'm not ashamed of the Pentecostal blessing that I believe, Lord, and I know with assurance is biblical. It's found in Scripture and is still being poured out today in the 21st century. It did not cease with the apostles. It's still flowing today. I thank you for the gifts of the Spirit, and I thank you for the gift of the Holy Ghost that is moving in this house today. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would open up our minds and our hearts to receive what you have for us. Help us to flow with you. Help us to yield to you and be submissive to the moving of your Holy Spirit. Help not one of us to quench your Spirit, but to flow with the Spirit. Flow in me, Spirit of God, and flow through me. We'll give you the praise and the glory for what you accomplish in your house among your people. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. May you see it. How do you know that Americans are people who love to celebrate holidays? I do not think anyone would argue that the three major holidays that we celebrate here in America are Thanksgiving, Christmas, and the 4th of July. I know there's some other ones that we celebrate, we observe, but those are probably the three most popular here in America. The Jewish people also love to celebrate holidays. They call their holidays feasts. There were three great annual national feasts in the Jewish religious calendar. The first was the Feast of Passover, and the second was known as the Feast of Pentecost, and the third was known as the Feast of Tabernacles. Now we know from verse 2 that Jesus was speaking here during the Feast of Tabernacles. This was a high, happy, and holy day in the life of the Jew. The Feast of the Tabernacles was like Christmas, Thanksgiving, and the 4th of July combined all in one. And during that feast, the high priest would go into the Pool of Siloam, take a golden pitcher, dip it into that pool, and carry it back to the temple. There he would pour that water on the altar of sacrifice, and at that moment, the Levites would blow the trumpets, and the great crowd would cry out according to Isaiah 12:3, with joy you shall draw water from the wells of salvation. Hallelujah. There would be leaping, there would be dancing, there would be shouting and singing. Great hallelujahs would fill the air during this festival. It was right at the climax of this great festival that Jesus, the Bible says, he stood out on the last day of the feast in verse 37, and he cried out to them, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Hallelujah. Jesus realized that these people were drinking from the river of ritual. They were drinking from the river almost of just going through the motions, drawing water from the well of religion. That then after this day, many would go back to the same old lifestyle and the same old fears and the same old faults and failures and the same old frustrations and the same old emptiness. It's kind of like a lot of people in churches today. They come in and they go out and they're not changed, they're not renewed, they're not receiving what God has for them. Jesus said, come to me and drink. Can I just tell you today, you're not going to find what you're looking for in the world. You're not going to find what you're looking for in possessions. You're not going to find what you're looking for even in relationships. What you're going to find today is that you will only come to know what you're looking for in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit working in your life. The rivers of God want to flow in you today. There is nobody. I'm telling you, there's nothing that can fulfill you like Jesus Christ. And the power of His Holy Spirit at work in your life. What was wrong with that crowd in that day is what is wrong with a lot of people today. They had religion, but they didn't have a relationship with the one who could satisfy their hunger and their thirst. Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. There is one in the house this morning who can fulfill your deepest need, your deepest longing. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus Christ. He said, if you are thirsty, come to me, and I will pour out rivers of living water in your life. Yeah. Now let's just be real honest today. The average Christian who is saved, a lot of times is not all that excited about it. Why not? You and I should be the most excited people on the face of this earth. We should be the most joyful people on the face of this earth. You've got Jesus Christ living inside of you. Raise your hand if you know Jesus. Hallelujah. Guess what? You've got the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Because if you don't have the Spirit of God, the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 5 that you don't even belong to Him. It's because of the Spirit that knocked on your door and convinced your heart of sin, righteousness, and of judgment, convinced you that you're a sinner, that you need to be saved, and showed you that you are empty without Him. It's the Spirit that convinced you that Jesus needs to be in your life. And because you repented of your sin and you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says you have been born again. Hallelujah. You now have a right relationship with the Lord. Because of that, you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Somebody give God praise for that. Hallelujah. Jesus here in John 7 is speaking of an experience in the Holy Spirit distinct from the work of the Spirit in salvation.
Yes,
that'll kick in with you in just a few minutes. He said one more time in verse number 37, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. In other words, Jesus hadn't gone back to the Father yet, so the promise of the Father that he talked about had not been fulfilled yet. So what did Jesus mean by the Spirit was not yet given? Does that mean the Holy Spirit was not present at the time that Jesus said this? Absolutely not. The Spirit of God was present. It was the Spirit of God that was working through Jesus. The Holy Spirit was at work in Jesus' ministry. Remember, the Spirit came down like a dove and settled upon Jesus in the Jordan River. And he heard the voice of the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Yes. The Spirit of God was at work. The Holy Spirit was there. Notice John the Baptist speaking of Jesus in Matthew 3:11. He said, "I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he who is coming after me," that's what we did this morning, water into repentance. That is very important in the life of the believer. Water baptism. "But he who is coming after me," who is that? His name is Jesus. One who's coming after me. He is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. One who's coming after me, who's mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not even worthy to stoop down and then loose the straps on. He said, "He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Hallelujah. I'm here to tell somebody today, I don't want just a little bit of what Jesus has for me. I want all that he has for me. Everything that God's got for me, I want it. And I just encourage you to lift up your hands and lift up your voice this morning and say, "God, whatever you've got for me, I want it. Whatever I've got to let go in my life to have it, I want to let it go, because there's nothing in this world that can fulfill me like a person and the power of the Holy Spirit. When the rivers of God begin to run through you, it's more valuable than any piece of money on the face of this earth." I'm here to tell somebody here today, don't put your trust in possessions. Don't put your trust in stuff. But put your trust in Jesus, the one who can fulfill you, the one who can pour out his Spirit on you and give you peace and joy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He said, "It's to your advantage, Jesus." He said, "It's to your advantage that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. The Helper will not come. But if I go away," hallelujah, he said, I will depart and send him to you. That's what he was talking about in Luke chapter 24 and 49. He said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." Anybody want to receive the promise of the Father? He said, "I send the promise of my Father upon you." Here's what he said. He said, "I want you to tarry. I want you to go into the city of Jerusalem. And I want you to stay there until you have been endued with power from on high." I'm here to tell somebody today, we need power from on high like we've never needed it before. We need to get back in the upper room and pray until the Holy Ghost comes down, and pray until the fire of God falls, and pray until the wind of the Spirit begins to blow, and pray in the Spirit. If it's in tongues, pray in tongues. If it's in your native language, and pray in your native language. But Jesus, come and baptize me in the Holy Spirit and with fire. I'm crazy enough to believe that even in this world in which we live, and church culture is changing. I know it's changing constantly, and people, they want this fat and they want that fat, and they want this to stir them up and they want that to stir them up. But I just believe here today that there is nothing like the power of the Holy Spirit when the Spirit of God begins to move in the church. Hallelujah. I'm not about fads, and I'm not about charisma. I'm not about trying to stir you up and make you feel all excited every single week. I'm about holiness. I'm about truth. I'm about the Word of the living God. And I believe that there's people out there, even young people, that are hungry for the power of Pentecost. They're hungry for the Holy Ghost to move. They're hungry to just get our old fashioned altar of prayer and pray through until the Holy Ghost comes down. It's not regulated. It's not, you gotta have this, and you can only go so far. No. Let the Holy Ghost move as much as he wants to. If you want to dance, then dance. If you want to run, then run. If you want to shout, then shout. No reservation. Absolutely. He said, "Let everything be done in decency and order." But the Spirit of God ought to have freedom to move. If somebody feeling convicted about the middle of the service that needs to run down to the altar to get saved, then come on down here and get saved. Let the Spirit of God move in you. Tell the Holy Spirit to do more in just a few minutes than you and I can do in a lifetime. And what if we would just open up and say, Spirit of God, have your way in me. Would you do that with me right now, Holy Spirit? Have your way in me. Have your way in me, Lord. Have your way in me. Do your work in me. Change me, God. Hallelujah. Pour out your Spirit in my life. Pour out your Spirit in my family. Pour out your Spirit on my neighbor beside me. Pour out your Spirit. I need you, Lord. I need more of you. You know, there's some people that will teach that all of this ceased at the end of the apostolic age. Have you heard that one before? What Bible are they reading? Really? Show me anywhere in the scripture where it says that the gifts of the Spirit ceased to operate at the end of the apostolic age. Show it to me. You can't show it to me. I've read the Bible through many times. Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it's not real. Just because you've never experienced the power of the Holy Spirit moving in this way doesn't mean it's not genuine. Hallelujah. I feel the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Because it was about in A.D. 30 or so, in Acts chapter 10, we know on the day of Pentecost, it was some years afterwards, I think it was AD 20 or so, when that took place, the day of Pentecost. They were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as if a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them cloven tongues of the fire that set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak. Everybody say began.
Amen.
With other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 10, in this meeting with Cornelius, you can see it for yourself. Somewhere around AD 29 or AD 30, some 10 years later, after the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out again. Oh, hallelujah. See, it didn't stop on the day of Pentecost. Anybody with me this morning? It didn't stop on the day of Pentecost. About 10 years later, it happened again, and the Bible says in verse number 44 of Acts chapter 10, and while Peter was still speaking these words, there was a great experience there where the Lord Jesus was tearing down this wall of division between Jews and Gentiles, and Peter got up on the roof, and the Lord said to Peter, he said, I want you to rise, kill me. He said, Lord, I've never done that before. How do you know that God wants to bring you to some place where we do some things we've never done before, experience some things we've never experienced before? Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is moving. While he was up on that rooftop having an experience, Cornelius and his men were coming towards him. And the Bible tells us that there was this great meeting between them. And while Peter was speaking these words, and Cornelius was present at that moment, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as on us at the beginning. For they heard them speak in tongues and magnify God. Hallelujah. That was 12, 10, 11 years later from the day of Pentecost. And then we read in Acts chapter 19. Somewhere around AD 32 or somewhere around there. Would you turn there with me for a moment at Acts chapter 19? Acts chapter 19, I want to read this to you. Acts chapter 19. At least 10 years later, at Acts chapter 19, the Holy Spirit is still moving, still being poured out in the church. And the Bible says what had happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. John's baptism is important, church. Being baptized in water is important. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is the only time in Scripture that we know of where someone was baptized in water a second time. Some people have asked me before, is it okay to be baptized in water again? Well, I don't see anything wrong with it. If you feel that the Holy Spirit is leading you to be re-baptized in water, do you think God's going to get mad at you for that?
Really, just think about it.
Somebody has gone away from the Lord, or they have been in a backslidden condition, they want to come back to Jesus, and they want to be re-baptized in water, then re-baptize them in water. It's a public testimony of an inward change. And the Bible says, when Paul laid his hands on them, verse number 6, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. So three different occasions, they were speaking in tongues, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Did the Holy Spirit stop here in Acts chapter 19? Well, we know from church history, in 1904 and 1905, of the Welsh revival, the Spirit of God was being poured out, hallelujah, when Evan Roberts was called by God and moved upon by the Spirit. We know in 1906 that William Seymour, an African-American brother, who the Spirit of God moved upon to break down those racial walls and to also help people understand that the Holy Spirit is not just for white people, the Holy Spirit is also for African-Americans and Hispanics and every other ethnicity and every other race and language upon the face of the earth. The Holy Spirit has come to fill each and every one of us with the power and the anointing from the Holy Ghost. It's not just for you. It's not just for me. It's for everybody who will call on the name of the Lord and be saved and be sanctified and filled with this precious Holy Ghost. Is there anybody in the house that feels what I feel up here today? I feel His power and presence. Lift your hands and say, fill me, Jesus, with a fresh anointing of your Spirit in my life. Hallelujah! Glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah! You know how you get more of the Spirit living in your life? You give up more of you. That's where the problem comes in for a lot of people. No wonder John the Baptist said he must increase. And I must decrease. You can't be filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with yourself at the same time. You can't be filled with the Spirit and filled with the world. And filled with the things of the world. And the pursuits and the affections and the lusts of the world at the same time. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. Now, we ought to pray, Lord, just empty me out of everything in my life. Why don't you pray up with me, right? Empty me out of everything that's not like you. And in return, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Pour out your Spirit in my life. Hallelujah. Because why is it so important to be filled? Because if the Spirit is overflowing in your life, there's not room for anything else. Oh, hallelujah. There's not room for the worldly pursuits. There's not room for sin. There's not room for the devil to get in. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, shut the door. Great outpouring of the Holy Spirit at the Brownsville revival that began on Father's Day, which is one more week from now, right? 1995. And I was privileged. My wife and I were privileged to go at least two times together. I can't remember if we went a third time, but I've been three times to the Brownsville revival when the Spirit of God was. I've seen people flood. I've never seen so many people at one time run into the altar to be saved. I'm telling you, I'm so glad I got to witness that in my lifetime. But I don't just want to see that one time and it be over. I long for the day when people thankful when we come to Jesus, whether it's in the church or whether it's somewhere else. I know we've got to be open to whatever God's got for us in these last days. God's doing the work of His Spirit. I believe that. But I want to see it again. I want to see the power of God again. I want to see souls saved again and converted and brought to Jesus. Is there anybody here that wants to see the power of God at work? The Spirit of God at work, even the victims here, and bring people to Jesus. I want to see miracles for that again. I want to see bodies healed. I want to see the dead raised. I want to see, hallelujah, miracles happen in the house of God. Stand with me and give God praise in this place. And lift your hands if you're hungry for more of God. You're hungry for more of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask my ushers to come down here and meet me quickly. My altar workers to come quickly. Come and help me this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Just keep those hands lifted for a minute and give Him praise. Lift up your voice and give Him praise. If you want the Spirit of God to be poured out upon your life, and you want a fresh outpouring of His Spirit, I want you to just step out of your seat this morning and come. Step out of your seat. Come quickly. Somebody's got to move first, so just come. Come. I want the Spirit of God to move in me. I'm open to the Lord moving in my life. Come with those hands lifted. Come with those hands lifted. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's for every one of us. It's for everyone. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior this morning, why don't you ask Him right now, Jesus, save me. I believe you're in this house and you're talking to me. Your Spirit is knocking on the door of my heart. So I open up my heart and I say, Jesus, come in. Save me of my sin. Save me from my sin. Forgive me, Lord. Save my life. I receive it right now. You died on the cross for me. You rose again on the third day for me. And I receive into my life today. Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe the Holy Spirit is doing a work in somebody right now. A work of salvation. A work of salvation. I sense His Spirit moving. Glory to God. I want my altar workers just to filter through. I want you to filter through and praying for people in the name of Jesus. I need somebody to stay right with me. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Lift up those hands and say, Jesus, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. You're not baptized in Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't get hung up on tongues. Don't get hung up on manifestations. Just say, Jesus, baptize me. Hallelujah. In the Holy Spirit. I'm hungry for more of you. I want you to move in my life. I offer up for myself so that more of you can look at me in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I sense His presence and power. There's a breakthrough in this house. There's a breakthrough in this house. Hallelujah. Before we get to pray with one another, I want you to lift up your hands and say, Jesus, bring breakthrough in my life. Bring breakthrough in this church. Bring breakthrough in this atmosphere. Bring breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Bring breakthrough.